everybody, and welcome to the newest Brief Tangent. We are recording this on Sunday, November 30th. It is the Sunday directly after Thanksgiving. We being myself, Christian Edwards, and my fellow co-host and Star Wars enthusiast, fanatic, Derek Schiffenauer.
Hey, Christian, how you doing?
I am fantastic, Derek.
Yeah.
I just took in... Well, something that I think I, as a pseudo fan, have been waiting for a long time, and I can only imagine you, as a whatever the opposite of pseudo is, fan, have been waiting for with even more bated breath.
You know, it's the season to be thankful. Thankful for my family and my friends. I'm also very, very thankful for J.J. Abrams now, 'cause I think he rocked it. I'm excited. I can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah, so we are here today to go with installment two of our brief tangents on shit having to do with the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Entree one occurred way back in April of 2014 when they announced the casting. And if you want to check that out, there is a link in the post attached to this. But today we are here to talk about the trailer. And... ironically, there was a particularly good teaser trailer that I falsely alerted Derek to on Wednesday. And then on Friday, when the actual trailer came out, we had a series of text messages that were transferred. And I think the number one takeaway for both of us was, never have I been so excited about a minute and a half that really tells us nothing.
That tells us absolutely nothing about the plot, which I really like. You know, I think there's kind of been a movement in Hollywood where, like, pretty much the entire plot of most movies are revealed in the trailer. And what they went with for the Star Wars trailer is, here are some completely disconnected scenes taken completely out of context. But you know what? You get the idea. You get that we get the tone for a Star Wars movie. And you can see some of the new special effects and how we're treating the world 30 years after Return of the Jedi. And I think they nailed it.
I think they did as well. It's great because we're going to get into an all-too-serious breakdown of the whole thing. But it's funny the things that they hit.
Yeah.
Like, desert planet, check.
Uh-huh.
Droid of some sort, check. Somebody riding a... you know, machine, check. Lightsaber, check. And then it was like, okay, cool,
Millennium
awesome.
Falcon.
Then it got check. Real. It's like, Millennium Falcon, double check. X-Wings,
John check. Williams score.
TIE Fighter,
super check.
Like, lightsabers, check. And, you know, nothing occurs, but it's basically, it was like, if there was a checklist of what you want to see to make sure that, you know, this actually is going to be a Star Wars movie, they just checked them all off.
Well, to that point, one interesting omission, which I was not expecting, was none of the original cast showed up. We had we had no Luke, we had no Leia, no Han. We had the Millennium Falcon as kind of like the money shot of the trailer, but we don't know who was piloting it. And so I kind of liked how they went with, here's the new stuff. Here's what you haven't seen before. Which was cool, too, because also, if you notice, the trailer didn't say Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. It just says Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And I really think they're trying to just kind of drum up the accessibility of the world for everyone, for new audiences, as well as the original fan base.
Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, you know, the last, most recent Star Wars came out 10 years ago. 2005.
Wow,
is when Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, was released.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole generation of particularly media-savvy kids who have never interacted with a new property. And I think it kind of speaks to what you're saying, that they didn't make it specifically Episode 7. They made it Star Wars. So I think if you're like 15, let's say, and this is like one of the hip retro things that you want to get into, you can kind of get into it. But if you're 15 and you didn't go the hip retro Star Wars route, but your friends are really excited about it, by not making it specifically sequential in marketing and advertising, I think, as you say, they allow that person to really get involved in it over the next year.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for involvement coming up. Like you said, our first iteration for our Star Wars podcast series was in, was it May? April?
It was late April, early May. Yeah.
And as we get closer to the release, news and actual information that we could report on is going to ramp up. So we're going to be ramping up these podcasts as well, which I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Get on board.
Ready for the all too serious breakdown of a minute and 30 seconds of nothing really happening?
Yeah, the far too detailed breakdown. Let's do it.
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want. All right, so the trailer opens with a view at a calm desert planet, assuming Tatooine. It seems like we have to go back there, right?
You have to go back, right? As Jack said in Lost, we have to go back.
We have to go back!
I mean, it's the most iconic location of Star Wars. It's been featured in almost every movie. Empire Strikes Back, I believe, is the only one where it does not have at least one Tatooine scene. And it'd be very funny if that was some other desert planet.
But well, it's also where we meet our first, like, it's where we meet the main protagonist of each of the first two segments, or whatever they're going to end up being called, sets of three, is while they are on Tatooine. So I think it would just, as like a literary convention, make sense to begin again there. A gravelly voice then begins talking, and there was a lot of speculation as to who this may be. It has since come out that it is Andy Serkis continuing the year-long Cirque de Circus into the new Star Wars trailer. And real quick, we don't know anything about what his character is meant to be. Do you have any thoughts with the knowledge that the person who he is playing is considered enough of an influence on the overall film to be kind of the narrator of this trailer?
So, yeah, literally no information on what kind of character he plays. I think it's safe to assume it's a CGI one.
I would love it for just actually to be Andy Serkis. Yeah. That would be so great.
Yeah, finally, just in the flesh.
He would make a great Emperor Palpatine, though, actually. Think about how he looks.
Yeah. Yeah, just drum it up a little bit. Put some makeup on. Add some movie magic.
I guess we already have. Yeah.
We do have Max von Sydow, who's also an Emperor-esque looking person, and that was my initial thought on who that was talking in the background. It wasn't until a few days later that it was confirmed that was Andy Serkis. The only thing I've read about his role is it's small but pivotal, so probably not a lot.
Von Sydow?
Going back to Andy Serkis now.
Gotcha.
Yeah, a very important role to the plot, but not necessarily a lot of screen time. So maybe kind of think along the lines of another J.J. Abrams movie, the Star Trek reboot, when Leonard Nimoy showed up. He only had about maybe 5 to 10 minutes of screen time, but he was really important to the plot. Based on how he sounds, I would guess he's a bad guy. I think you probably nailed it, Christian, when you mentioned earlier, before we started recording, a dark side Yoda. I think I think that's a really good prediction, and I could see that being the case. Some ancient dark side force wielder, long forgotten and long hidden.
So one of the things about the moniker of this, the Force Awakens, that it implies that something kind of comes back. Something that has been dormant, shall we say. And for my money, I think it may be a reference to, in the original trilogy, the dark side has kind of overtaken the light, and the light is balancing out. However, in the prequel trilogy, and then I think what we're going to call the sequel trilogy here, I think they're both going to have instances where the light side has kind of overtaken the dark a little much, and the dark side... He's going to have some sort of awakening. I think it may be, I guess, one parallel would be like Lord Voldemort coming back after a period of disappearance in the Harry Potter novels.
Right.
I think that could kind of be the sort of situation that we see, is that we think that the light has kind of taken over and people are really focused on, you know, the political aspects of everything as opposed to the balancing of the force. And I think the dark side's going to come back and reassert itself.
I think that's definitely what we're going to see happen. I've read some rumors online. Again, all rumors. We don't have any concrete plot points. So
not even the first clue.
Not even the first clue. So at this point, we're all just speculating here. I've heard some rumors of the main plot circling around Luke Skywalker being kind of going into hiding ever since Return of the Jedi, and some kind of events in the movie, probably the awakening or resurgence of a dark side figure, causes the main principal cast to go looking for Luke, which sounds pretty cool to me. I would get on board with that. And reawakening the Force through rediscovering Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I think that would also explain the Tatooine indications that we see. Because I think Luke would probably go back to Tatooine.
Man, that...
All right, now that we've made it all of 4 seconds into the trailer, something else happens. A face pops up. John Boyega.
John Boyega from Attack the Block.
New principal cast member. The first one to appear, and I think it's actually very important, kind of as you said, that we don't start with a Luke, a Leia, a Han, a Chewie, a Yoda, a Palpatine. We start with one of these new people, and he's only on it for about 2 seconds.
Right.
But he's wearing what is very clearly a Stormtrooper outfit.
Stormtrooper outfit. He looks a little distressed. If you listen closely, you can hear the sounds of the Imperial probe droid in the background. The kind of the droid that was dispatched in Empire Strikes Back to look for the Rebel bases. So kind of that's a little interesting Easter egg there. And pretty much every character, they also show Daisy Ridley a little bit later, and we'll talk about that. But everyone's running from something, and everyone looks distressed. So it'll be interesting to see what this happens to be.
Yeah. So there's been a little bit of controversy because people suck.
True, they do.
And there's been some negative trolls on the internet having problems with, I guess, like a black guy as in a Stormtrooper outfit.
I guess. I mean, that's what I've read too. I don't know why that would be a problem for literally anyone. I don't see why we can't have black Stormtroopers. It's now been, 50 years past the Clone Wars? So I'm pretty sure most of the clones have died off by now.
Yeah.
They're going to need more. They're going to need good people, you know? And I'm pretty sure in the world of Star Wars, they're pretty progressive. And I don't think they're going to turn off or shun away black stormtroopers or black recruits.
I think it's fair to say that a long, long time ago was a lot more accepting than current day.
Yeah, it's the Empire. It's not the Third Reich. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on. Give this guy a break. Props to John Boyega, by the way.
Mad props to John
for
Boyega.
Yes. Coming out after this just unnecessary controversy and just basically saying, look, I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm excited. Being in the movies, absolute awesome thing. And just deal with it because I'm going to continue to be in the movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And also to the point, I don't really necessarily believe that he is a Stormtrooper.
No.
I mean, Luke, Han... They dressed up as Stormtroopers, too, in episode 4. We might be seeing just that once more. Another callback.
Totally. Honestly, the number one thing I thought when I saw this is I always forget that Stormtroopers are people, like in certain versions of this, you know? Like, I forget that there's people that they just look like, you know, Stormtroopers robots. But they're not. They're people, too. People, too.
They're people, too. And that's an important message. I agree.
What would Mr. Rogers say? Just think that. All right, on to the next thing. Mr. Rogers would say, I'm really happy that there's a new astromech droid, because R2-D2 is like 60 years old.
Right. He's going to be showing
he's
somewhere.
He's dated technology. He's like a TI-83.
And so I kind of, and this is an ongoing theme in this trailer, and we're probably going to hit on it a few times. They definitely made some efforts to show how the technology has progressed. The first indication of that is this new astromech droid. Astromech droids being the droids used to help pilot the rebel starfighters, generally. So this astromech droid, as opposed to like a R2-D2, which used to roll around on the three legs, now is rolling on some kind of spherical design with a head on top, which looks pretty cool.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm into it. So that's great. And then we get the first view of, you know, principal actor two, Daisy Ridley.
Right.
Who is speculated to likely be the offspring of Han, and mm-hmm. Leia.
Han and Leia, yeah. She looks
and
the part.
And she is running. She's flying, I guess.
Once again, yeah, she jumps on some kind of speeder, takes mm-hmm. off, also looks distressed and hurried and running from something. So I think we're going to get a lot of running in this movie. That's my prediction.
It's going to be a lot of chases. I'm looking forward to it. And what is that thing that J.J. Abrams does all the time? The light?
Solar flares. Light
solar
flashes.
Flares.
Yeah. We're going to have
solar
a lot of that.
Solar flares here. Solar flares there.
I was surprised at the Millennium Falcon reveal. They didn't have a giant-ass solar flare. I was waiting for that.
Oh, God. That's the best part of the trailer, but we're not there yet.
Uh-huh. We're not there yet.
All right. So the next thing we get is X-Wings.
We get a really sweet...
I was a little surprised.
I was surprised, too. I would say this is the first money shot of the trailer. I count three big money shots. This is the first one. Three X-Wings flying in formation low over some water, and it looks fucking cool.
It does. It looks... This is when it started to hit that, as kind of you were talking about, they got it.
Yeah.
And they kind of understand...
For sure.
...what people are looking for, because what it kind of looks like is some of the technological advancement that was present in the prequel trilogy, mm-hmm. Just things looking really cool, you know, with the same vibe or attitude or necessity of shot with the original trilogy.
Also of interest is we got to see inside the cockpit. A couple cool things there. First, we see the first of actor Oscar Isaac, who's also part of the movie. Unclear on how big of a role. He'll be notable also for being the title villain in X-Men Apocalypse, which is kind of neat. So the one thing I thought was really interesting on the inside of the cockpit reveal of the uniform, it's also advanced a little bit from the original Rebel Alliance outfits. One thing I've noticed, same insignia on the shirt. It's not the... it's not the New Republic insignia from the expanded universe. It's still very much mm-hmm. the old school Rebel Alliance insignia. That, along with the fact that the X-Wings kind of look like they're in bad repair, mm-hmm. and just his general outfit's kind of not pristine. As opposed to a few scenes ago, we saw some Stormtrooper armor, which was all super sleek and state-of-the-art. I think both of those things in tandem indicate that the Rebel Alliance is very much still that, a rebellion, mm-hmm. and the Empire still has them on the back of their heels.
Yes. So that was an interesting thing to me, is it does look like we are going to still be in the middle of the massive war
mm-hmm.
Between these two, long-standing conflict. And, yeah, the X-Wings do not look good. It does not look like... You would think they would have grabbed a little bit of a foothold, perhaps been able to purchase some new aircraft. But not the case.
Not the case. Not the case. It'll be interesting to see exactly what is the case with all that.
Yeah. All right. So from there, we go pretty quickly to what... As far as what I've read about is the most talked about... part of this trailer, aside from, you know, general awesomeness, but as far as what we have seen and what it could potentially mean, and that is a cloaked, hooded figure
in all black
walking through the like the forest,
kind of like woods. Snowy forest,
looks like the Forbidden Forest is what it looks like. And he throws his saber out,
mm-hmm.
which comes out red, mm-hmm. which is kind of makes some sense. But then, and only then, two more little guys
out
the sides.
We got a little laser cross guard going on, which is just fucking cool.
Whoa.
We got a broadsword. That was cool. Yeah, we got a light broadsword up in the mix.
So I will not get as deep as I got into everything that I read about this specific moment in the trailer this weekend.
Okay.
But the big conflict seems to be as to whether or not it would be helpful. Because there seems to be a huge debate over whether or not lightsabers, when they clash, would slide up or down.
Mm-hmm.
And if due to their nature as movable force, if they can slide, if you wouldn't be putting yourself at disadvantage to get overpowered and have your hand cut off by your own crossguard.
All I know is a lot of people lose their hands and their arms in Star Wars movies. And any kind of technology that's trying to prevent that, I'm for it. It's about time they drum up the safety on those things.
Yes, yes. I think another important thing is that the fourth principal kind of newcomer that we've heard a lot about is Adam Driver.
Right.
Who is a tall, lanky human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from the trailer, it's fair to surmise that this is a tall, lanky human being. However, we don't know for sure whether or not this is the character that he will be playing.
That's right. Yeah, there are some rumors. People seem to think that might be the case. We never saw the front of this character. We just saw his the back of his hooded self, his robed self. So unclear who is playing this character. But
yes,
that'll be definitely something to look out for. One thing I really liked about the lightsaber reveal here is we've always had these very clean blades that are coming out of the lightsabers, like very clean, pure energy. This one, the energy was staticky and a little fractured. Made me think of one of two possibilities. One, either it's some kind of ancient blade that has been around for a long time. Or two, going back to the kind of the title of The Force Awakens, the technology to create and craft and the expertise needed to craft a good lightsaber in the 30 years since Return of the Jedi might have been lost to time. And so this was someone's best attempt to build a lightsaber, but not up to snuff of the original lightsabers.
Like maybe a Tony Stark locked up in a Middle Eastern country lightsaber?
There you go. Something like that.
Like that. That's what's going on, as opposed to like an expertly made. I guess I don't know how lightsabers are made. Is there a craftsman responsible for them?
Well, going into the kind of the Star Wars lore, which may or may not be true anymore, it was the it's supposed to be the responsibility of the Jedi to craft the blade themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. And then we get a nice little last word of the trailer, which is, "And the light." And then what happens, Derek?
And then
what happens after "And the light"?
And then John Williams just flops out his inspirational music score dick and just like
flaps it all over the world.
And we
just
get it.
Everybody, never forget what this sounds like.
Right.
This
is the best musical score of all time, and here it is.
Yep.
And we're going to accompany it with a money shot of the Millennium Falcon doing a barrel roll on, I believe, Tatooine. So there you go.
Yes.
And
that is what happens.
And that's exactly.
And we got TIE fighters that are still TIE fighters.
TIE fighters are still TIE fighters. Looks like a little different color configuration. It almost looked like the wings, the colors were inverted, which I thought was interesting. Maybe the effect's not done yet, or maybe it's something else.
Sure.
But I thought that was kind of fascinating. But there were two TIE fighters in chase with the Millennium Falcon trying to shoot it down, which was just cool to see again. And just the way that J.J. Abrams shoots iconic sci-fi vehicles, whether it be the Enterprise or the Millennium Falcon, is just unparalleled. Like, he just does such a good job at showing, these are some cool-ass ships. You should take a look at it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we
end.
Then we got to the most disappointing part of the trailer, which is when it says it's coming out in December 2015.
It's like, oh yeah, we have a whole nother year. 365 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
So after we get off the podcast here, Christian, I'm going to start researching cryo sleep opportunities for me. So I can just set it for a month.
Could you just Han me for the next 12 months?
just get some carbonite.
Han my ass.
Yeah.
Just Han my ass for 12 months. Wake me up when it's time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Giants won't win the World Series. Unfortunately for you, as it is an odd year.
Sure. So what would I be missing, right?
Nothing much, really. Actual question. Is the release schedule, is it all the way out there? Or do we just know the first one is December 15? Do we know when subsequent are meant to come out? Or is it just that first one is 15?
So what I've read is you're going to be on an every other year schedule of the core movies.
Okay.
So you're going to go 7 in 2015, 8 in 2017, 9 in 2019. The years in between are going to be the offshoot movies, the standalone.
Okay.
Character-driven movies.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that's going to be... We're starting with Boba Fett, is the understanding, correct?
That's... I don't think anyone knows for sure what we're starting with. That's definitely been a rumor, but nothing's been confirmed.
Okay.
Gotcha. The only thing we do know is the director of the first standalone movie is Rian Johnson.
Okay.
And he is best known for Looper and Brick.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Indeed.
Well, I think more things will come out, and we will have more than enough to talk about in the next year here. So, Derek, thank you.
Thank you. May the Force be with you, Christian.
And also with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've listened to this and you want to tell us your thoughts on it, feel free to tweet us. We are thebrief_. We're also on the web at keepingitbrief.org. There should be some options to email us through that. But yeah, this is exciting stuff.
It's starting
Happy
to
Thanksgiving.
Happen. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
This
Happy
is Star Wars giving.